Good evening once again, boys and girls, and welcome to the fruit-based drink that is the Naked Football Show. Tonight, of course, we welcome those for the days, Phil Ham.
Hello.
And I heard he took a fall last week, but this is actually not true. He went to Germany, so I was going to sing She Fell Over at him, but the old git is back.
Good evening, boys and girls, and especially the mummies.
These are git fallen.
I don't know. Yeah. And finally, our naked virgin this week, who acted as my eyes through the mists of an alcohol-induced haze at the game last night, Tan fan and England goalkeeper David James.
Good evening.
Fairly predictable topics this week, promotion prospects following two away wins and one home defeat, bizarrely. And the strange animal that is Sour Dandy, otherwise known as Andy Durso. That's an anagram. That's clever, wasn't it? So email him, as usual, with your thoughts to the usual address, which is studio@icrfm.co.uk, or text us on the usual number, 07973 851 968. So, David, how was the Palace game for me?
From my perspective, just stood in front of you, it was very good, very positive. Lots of energy in the midfield, a solid defence, which is not the usual you'd expect. And some very good up-front play from Walters and Lee. But overall, very positive for an away performance. And certainly got the cobwebs of Watford out of the system.
Absolutely, yeah. Phil?
It was, everything you really want about an away game against one of the other sides. Sort of. I mean, we were actually, I think, level on points and level and just ahead on goal difference, weren't we, with Palace?
Two goals ahead, right, yeah.
So you couldn't get sort of a nearer rival than that. And it was everything you want away at their ground. We took the game to them first half. We had enough chances to score even before Danny Haynes' nose stepped in and sent the ball home. But and then in the second half, it was a sort of solid defensive display, and we actually managed to close out a game away from home, which I don't think I've seen us do comfortably for a really long time. I mean, the way that you didn't really feel that concerned, did you?
No, that's what I'm saying. It felt like a home game in that respect.
Yeah, which is so unusual for town, really. And also, of course, the fantastic atmosphere. That was the other thing that was very noticeable. We always send loads of people to Palace. Why anyone would want to go to Palace other than to see Ipswich? Because it's such an awful ground and such an awkward place to get to. But we always have a really good atmosphere.
I think people are lured in. Mermaids onto the rocks. That they think that the Palace...
Palace, you think
it's just down there, not very far, and it's actually awful. I couldn't go because I had a son playing for a town against Peterborough Elite with a 9:30 kickoff this morning. So of course we couldn't be out getting on the pavement like Danny Sonner
at
1 o'clock in the morning. So we went to bed after listening to the wireless.
But I mean, the other thing I think was noticeable yesterday, Richard Naylor, I thought was absolutely fantastic.
I'm a big Naylor fan, yeah. But everybody knows his weaknesses, and he didn't show any of them yesterday.
No.
Can you be a big Naylor fan?
Yes.
No one's a big Naylor fan, he's a good old boy. He buys his round and all that, but he's a little bit ginger, a little bit Yorkshire.
I think he gets a bad press, I have to say. I think that he's probably the quickest centre-half we've got.
Worrying in one respect.
Well, yeah. He certainly doesn't make the mistakes that he did when he first started playing centre-half. And to be honest, I think he's a far better centre-half than Alex Bruce, I have to say, who really spends most of his time clearing up after himself.
Poor old Bruce, yes, he's not terrific. Good. Naylor's a good old boy, let's get this clear.
Town's copper-top man of steel.
Couldn't have put it...
I'd have to say...
Was that me that put it like that, even?
With Naylor, the problem with...
With Naylor
with
and
is if he makes a... with Naylor, when he makes a mistake, when you haven't got the legs or the box to cover for him, it certainly shows up. So anything that Naylor does miss...
But that I like that.
I think that's the problem.
And I like that about De Vos.
It shows
up. They don't hide up. They get out there and they do what they do. And if they do make a mistake, they have made a mistake.
That's it.
And Vilnius is a bit like that as well.
But I think Naylor's bad press comes from the fact that there's nobody else to cover him. Whereas if De Vos does make a slip, somebody like Naylor or Vilnius usually gets in there to save the bushes.
Bruce, actually, to give him his due, he's very good at kind of... a saving challenge behind somebody in that manner, isn't he? I think, but I just don't feel that
that's
he's strong
he is,
enough.
Yes, but he's
not
second.
Strong enough,
Bruce.
Is he?
No, and you put your finger on it there. Oh yes, he is the second man. He's the second line of defence always.
Mm.
Bruce doesn't put himself forward as the first line of defence.
I think it works.
But why was Wright dropped? Surely Wright back.
I have to assume it's just the number of games that Jim has given him a rest.
Or purely tactical. I mean, we know against a Neil Warnock side it's going to be a kind of physical, largely aerial battle. So do you think that Jim thought that Alex Bruce playing at right back would be a better kind of bet in the air?
Pretty harsh on...
I think David Wright's been fantastic. I mean, the crossing particularly, I can't remember which particular game, but one of the games at home recently, his crossing was absolutely fantastic.
Sadly, of course, even further back in the queue, the third choice right back last night was poor old Cito Castro Rodriguez Luis.
Very good. to some extent, he's kind of lost his. Well, I mean, he's a player.
Well, awfully unfortunate.
Well, he's unfortunate, but then you know, if you're picking a player for a game against a Warnock side, a 5'7", 5'8" right back who's kind of shown himself in the past.
However,
kind of a bit wobbly in
the air.
It
has to be said that picking, you know, you're talking about playing against Neil Warnock, playing Pablo Cunhago against Danny Chitou. Comes into that same sort of category.
Is he French? I'm just aware that he's French.
You said I wasn't to say the word vagina. I'm trying to avoid saying the word chitou.
Right, yeah, Chitou is a player who obviously does very well in the air, and I don't think we really played Pablo against him, did we? I think the idea of playing Walters up front was because he's probably our strongest player in the air. And the idea of playing him alongside Pablo was Pablo to get the balls coming into feet. Unfortunately, I think we never got our game going against Watford at all. And Watford played very, very tight to the midfield, didn't they? So no one had any time on the ball, and it ended up with a load of players lumping the ball forward towards John Walters, who came off very much second best to the large French centre-half. I think, you know, it's not... That sort of game, when it becomes a sort of lumping competition...
It's horrible.
Pablo isn't suited to it in any way, shape,
Although,
or form.
Although, in fairness, I think Pablo has gone off the boil of his own volition.
Do you think?
I think he's gone off the ball. He has recently.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, perhaps that's partly the opposition we've had. I mean, we've played a lot of sort of attritional sides, like
Stoke.
Palace and Stoke and... Burnley and all those kind of, you know.
I thought he looked good when he came on towards the end last night because he held the ball up really well at the end a couple of times.
Pablo and Walters brilliantly holding the ball in the corners last night.
Yes,
you know, this is sort of what was going on about closing out the game.
When are we going to mention Velici Szymielkowski?
Oh, fantastic! Yeah, he played really well. I mean,
he did. Absolutely impressed with him. You knew what you were going to get to start with from. All the press he'd heard before, he's going to be energetic, he's going to try hard, he's supposed to be box-to-box. Obviously, the Steven Gerrard has been taken out of context, because it wasn't a true quote, but you knew we were going to get that.
He does look like him from a distance, doesn't he?
But, he's taller in real life than he was on YouTube, isn't he?
Yes, and that was a major plus for us in our midfield, because we don't have a lot of height. The only height we tend to have in our midfield is Garvin, who is too lightweight.
You talk about over intellectualising David James. I thought that having signed all these water carriers, Quinn sealed up the left hand side, and Norris and the Macedonian and Stephen Gerrard,
the round pegs and the round holes, yes.
And then you could attach Owen Garvin to a piece of elastic in the centre circle, and he could just do all the creation. So it would be almost as if you've signed a new person. Because, for example, that Garvin match for the under-21s last week, Garvin was absolutely
ran the show, didn't he?
And didn't he tire? He tired because he was the only guy in midfield. He's a slow guy. If you're going to flog him all over the pitch, and I thought this was going to be marvellous. We've got all these water carriers now to support the brilliance of Garvin. And it turns out that Velici Szymielkowski is going to replace Garvin.
He's going to be
no, he's not. I mean, I think that it was more a case of Garvin having played a lot of games in a relatively short period of time, and I think he was... It wouldn't surprise me, really, if Garvin was back on Saturday.
Yeah,
so
I tell you what, I'm pleased that Miller hasn't been just completely and utterly booted out. I don't like Miller any more than anybody else, but you don't really want to see players just ritually...
discarded.
Because it does destroy them, and, you know, when are they going to come back again? Then they've got to... have that rebuild of confidence, and if, as you say, you just kick them straight out of the side, you might as well just sell them. because you need to say, well, we're going to give you a rest and then bring you back in again. If you just drop them straight out the side for whatever reason.
Because we all thought, didn't we, that this was the end of Miller.
I mean, it could well be the end of Legwinski, isn't it?
I think Legwinski
has got his contract up at the end of the season. He's never regained full fitness.
To a certain extent, Gavin Williams needs to get as fit as possible soon.
Oh, God,
well,
I've forgotten about him.
Exactly. That's the whole point. We've been playing him unfit, and he suffered because of it. And I think his latest fight back to fitness has come at the wrong time with these new guys coming in.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in some ways he might get himself back fit for the end of the season when we might need one or two players with perhaps suspensions and injuries perhaps kicking in at that stage.
We've certainly got quite a depth of squad now, although most of the team is actually playing for other teams, isn't it?
Well, there was a fairly lengthy number of them. Yeah, and Peters played quite well apparently yesterday, and Roberts did quite well.
Although Peters isn't finishing matches for Yeovil, I noticed.
No, but that's probably because he's not played that many games this season, wouldn't he? Well, they won last night, didn't they? So perhaps they suffered him as a kind of defensive manoeuvre, I don't know. Anything on the wires, Graham?
Yeah, a few. We've one from Mariner just saying, we won, it went on, it goes on
so
for about 20 we won, so he's in dream.
He's a good old boy.
Yeah. Pabs and Lee, we're going to come to this. I'll come to that later. It's what do the panel think of Derso's performance on Saturday? We'll come to that in a second.
Absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
I thought it was
quite good.
Gutless performance from a referee I've ever seen. It was like that Watford bench were refereeing the game, really. They were allowed to get away with so much. He showed absolutely no compunction to clamp down on their time-wasting and all the
daft
shenanigans and all the... You know, I mean, the first half, every time we went in their half of the field, our player was fouled. And they knew full well they could defend pretty much any set-piece because Mr. Shittu and his pals were far bigger than our... attackers and that's their sort of staple, isn't it, winning the ball in the air.
Can you keep saying Shittu like that? We can't have messy food in the studio and yet you can get
You can say it because it's somebody's name. You can say Scunthorpe as well. So, I mean, what did you think? You thought it was entertaining, did you?
Well, actually, it is absolutely the case that in the last few weeks the crowd, the atmosphere that's been created has been all this negative booing of the referees and it's been super atmosphere, but it's all been just simply booing the referee. I actually think that we should actually get over it. I know that was the worst display of bad sportsmanship that I can recall since Don Reavy's Leeds. I thought it was absolutely disgraceful, but you've got to have a referee, and if you've got some secret list of wonderful referees that are going to be... I know that Derso is he's pretty well top of the list, but he competes with all the others to be top of the list.
No, he's miles ahead, I think.
He's in the league of his own. Yeah.
Poor old boy. They're doing their best. They're not biased. They're not corrupt.
But that's what gets you, though. You'd think at least if he was that bad that he'd be corrupt. You know what I mean? Or not trying his best. But the bloke is trying his best and he isn't
corrupt.
And
that's what it looks like.
It's just extraordinary.
I refereed a rugby match between the University of Virginia and the University of Duke, or Duke University as they kept calling themselves.
Right.
And it was a big day for them because they're quite serious about rugby and they're quite serious universities. And I was absolutely appalling.
Right.
It isn't easy. It isn't easy.
But Danny Derso was.
He learned everything from that one display.
And all Andy Derso had to do was look at his watch and understand how many minutes were.
Yeah,
but he didn't.
Someone's going to mention last night that it was 4 minutes last night.
Yeah, 4 minutes last night, and there was hardly any wasted time.
If I was tooled up, I would have shot Derso. I'd have shot Derso and the fourth official. The poor old fourth official was only carrying out orders, but so were the Nazi. Guards.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Right. Can I do
that? I don't think obviously we should condone the shooting of referees before referees complain.
There's a couple here from Rowena Mackey. I went out. I know Rowena Mackey as you do, Phil. I went out after the Watford Dave Barker. What is the go with the Swedish supporters? I met some and they were fab, and it was great to meet them. But I was so disappointed they saw such a rubbish match. And I did actually promise to say hello to all the Swedish fans.
Yeah,
there was a lot of them last week.
And
so hello, guys.
All the Scandinavians listen to the programme. And they're all fantastic. And the Norwegians, I saw some Norwegians there last night. Tom and Inga, particularly outside the ground. And I believe there were some of the Swedes there last night, although not all of them that came over at the weekend. But yeah, they all come over every now and then. And I think they quite miss the fact that we don't go on pre-season tours in Scandinavia.
Yeah, which we used to.
Because it was always a great laugh meeting up with them.
Yeah.
In fact, I went over to stay with the Norwegians in the summer. It was marvellous.
And again, why don't we do some kind of quality training regime for referees and match analysis. Well, they do match analysis, don't they? But they don't seem to do any quality training. That's a question for you, Phil. You seem to know about all this sort of
stuff. Do I? I don't know where you get that idea from. I don't know anything about that.
Obviously, they analyse refs, don't they? They have someone
assessing them. But
there's no sort of... There doesn't seem to be any...
Well, the managers give their opinion, don't they, as well?
Yeah.
So, I mean, presumably, if a referee over the course of the season gets lots of ones and twos, then, you know, I mean, mind you, Neil Warnock probably gives ones and twos every week. I can't see him giving many referees tens, can you?
Absolutely not.
I mean, that's another thing. Last night, the penalty, of course, was the refereeing talking point, and I think he got it completely wrong, didn't he? Penalty, I think, you know, the sending off.
Very first instance looking at it. Goalkeeper outside the area takes down the man, and you were to say, well, that's it, it's clear cut sending off.
Yeah, obvious goal scoring.
Obvious goal scoring. From the referee's point of view, there was a couple of defenders you could say would have got back. Maybe that's his decision. My bugbear with that one is if he didn't get the man, he would have got the ball. It would have been a deliberate handball, would have been a sending off anyway.
Well, I suppose so. I mean, I don't know whether the referee just
bottled it. He looked to the bench and he saw that Neil Warnock's playing at home. He doesn't have a sub-keeper.
He was scared of Warnock.
He was scared of sending him off the goalkeeper.
That sort of implied that the referee was so biased that he took that into consideration that Warnock didn't have a foul on the bench. I think this is a hobby horse of mine. I have 11. This is one of them. That the penalty that's being sent off. The penalty is so severe, you then miss not only the whole of this match, but you then miss three forthcoming matches. The penalty is too severe.
Do you think it's just a sending off and no suspension for something like that?
Or a sending off for 90 minutes or...
For the rest of the game.
Or some sort of period of time. Yeah, well, if you send him off for the rest of the game, that could be just one minute.
Yeah.
It would be well worth you doing that, and the penalty is just 1 minute. But because the penalty is the hope, however much remains of this game, and that's a completely arbitrary figure, sometime between 1 minute and 90 minutes, can the viewers see me at my hand movements here?
Probably not. It's probably a good job they're not seeing your hand movements. I can see your point entirely, Rick. But, I mean, yesterday it was a situation where the keeper came out. He sent John Walters flying. It was outside the area, and we're obviously hopeless at free kicks just outside the area. And there was very little. He got away fairly scot-free, really.
Whereas the alternative could have been absolutely massive. It could have been a penalty, which is an almost inevitable goal, and then he's got to miss the match. And almost inevitably, if you're kicking off the goalkeeper, although it's not the referee's fault, that the idiot... What's his
name? Spironi?
Colin.
I mean, it's not the referee's fault, but Colin is completely mad and won't put a goal in. What on earth is
especially when he doesn't have Jagielka.
Because he likes having five strikers on the bench, all of which he's got on free transfers in the summer. I think what the referee thought last night was that by the time all the kind of Walters had got up and the goalkeeper was going, it wasn't me. There were two defenders standing on the line. But when Walters went past the goalkeeper, they weren't anywhere near the line. So if you're talking about obvious goal scoring opportunities,
that clearly was one,
and he should have been sent. I mean, the other incident people were talking about is when Spironi handled the ball down here.
Yes.
When Andy Durso, to come full circle. But then I don't think it was a obvious goal scoring opportunity.
No.
And so I think Durso, for once, got it right.
Right, here's one. Rowan and Mackie, again, bring in the sin bin. That's a good idea. I think it is, actually.
Well, the penalty box idea from...
Which we mentioned before.
From ice hockey, which I think a lot of people...
Yeah, have and also allow the medics, like they do in rugby, allow the medics on the pitch or the physio on the pitch during the game, treat them, and then they won't go down unless they're really ill, because you just keep the game going and you just let them get
treated. I don't know whether you can do that in football. I mean...
Why not? You do it in rugby.
Well,
you could try it, but rugby stays
in one area of the pitch much more than football.
What would it matter if it even hit the trainer.
It would be the same as the referee.
Yeah, no, but it's, but what about, all right, you have got the issue with offside in that circumstance. You've got a player lying down being treated by medics in the middle of their own penalty area.
I think maybe you might have to draw the line with the penalty area. If he goes down the area, it has to be something different.
If a player is being treated in the penalty area and the medic decides he's going to score?
No, that's what I mean. You'd have to have it as it is now. In the area, you'd have to have the rules as they are now. But I think like Watford, that guy who just went down on the touchline.
If the ball drops to the medic last minute of the game, obviously you wouldn't care.
But you're creating a fantasy.
Off on one.
Yes,
No, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know a lot about rugby. Does it work particularly well?
It does.
It works perfectly.
Perfectly. The game just keeps flowing. Well, and then
you
can't...
get situations where...
And similarly, the sin bin works very well in rugby.
Oh, well,
too,
sin bin, I think, you know, you talk to anyone who knows anything about ice hockey, they say, why on earth do we not do it in football? Because sort of Norwegian supporters, particularly, I've spoken to, and someone wrote a piece for the fanzine ages ago outlining the whole thing. I think, yeah, it makes
I'm
perfect
sympathetic
sense.
To the idea of the sin bin.
Yes, yeah, certainly.
Hmm. So we're going to have that. FIFA, we'll write a letter to, what's his name? Mr. Blatter.
David Sheepshanks is one of the FIFA boards. He's on, looks at the rules of the game,
yeah,
and looks at advancement. It's an idea that they have actually looked at and thrown about.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's got any further than that, to be honest.
Well,
so.
I think when we were speaking to Sheepy the other day...
At the ATM.
I think I actually mentioned the sin to him, and I think he poo-pooed it.
Did he? Poo-poo and Danny Sheepy on the same show.
Do you know, there was a little...
It's our most scatological programme so far. Right, go ahead.
Right, Tony...
move us on.
Yeah, Tony the Irish said he'll shoot refs for you, Phil. I think you just give him a bit of money.
It was me suggesting the shooting of them.
Oh, right. Well,
although
he said
I'm in favour of
he
refs.
Said he could do it. He's a bit rusty, but he'll have a go.
Right.
Right. Oh, there's one I had earlier. This is from Adrian from London. Thought Sumo looked superb last night. I think he can get even better.
Yeah.
Do we agree with that?
I think we all... I like the way that he... He didn't look as if he needed time to adjust to the English game. He immediately
the second he came on against Watford,
just seemed to be straight into it.
And whereas Rob, in fairness, Norris clearly is a proven entity.
Yeah.
He is clearly a good, very effective player, and logically he will fit into our team. And
I won't say I'm disappointed with him so far, Norris. But he hasn't really set the world alight yet.
Yeah.
I think too much hype around him.
Did you go to Sheffield Wednesday?
Yes, it is.
Second half Sheffield Wednesday, I thought we saw more of what we were expecting.
And there was a couple of moments last night with him as well, but I think there's too much put him on. Whereas Shumi, being a slightly unknown quantity, came on at Sheffield for his debut and couldn't hit a pass the right strength and seemed to be chasing the game well. But as you say, from Watford and then certainly last night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he kind of... He knew when to go forward, didn't he? And he knew when to sort of hang back, and he just seemed, you know, as if he was a very measured approach to the game.
And he was putting the right sort of balls forward already for the likes of Walters to hold up
and
in the positions that they want to.
Bizarrely, that's exactly how it looked on YouTube. It's absurd to make any judgment whatsoever about a player on YouTube, because by definition they're going to be...
It's going to be highlights.
Well, I mean, those videos are presumably made by his agent, the ones...
But he did look very, very good, didn't he?
Yeah.
He looked as if he had all the attributes, that he could put measured passes, he could run at the right time, he did look fantastic, and the bit that I've seen of him, he does look it's very exciting. And I can say his name, Billy Shumlikowski.
It's very good. I was most impressed. We had a Russian speaker in the other week. We just didn't have bothered, really.
He was jolly good.
That's where you got it from, wasn't it? Email from James Essler. Didn't go to Palace but thought Norris had a disappointing game against Watford. Do you think we spent too much money on him?
Well, I think we certainly spent too much money on him, but I think that's the kind of nature of the market for David Norris at the time, with Bolton's additional percentage, which I think we got reduced. I think still bumped up the fee. I think we're still to see the best of him, but he's a decent championship player, isn't he? I think, and he knows the
terrier, as they call him.
I don't begrudge a penny of the money that's been spent on him. We had the money, we wanted him. There wasn't someone else that we wanted to spend the money on. It's not a mad amount of money.
We have paid slightly over the top. They've pushed us to the limit of what they wanted,
Would you have paid the money, Phil?
If I was the chairman and the manager wanted a player that much, I think I would sign the cheque. Yeah.
You have to, don't you? You have to back your manager.
It's on record now. It's on podcast.
It's on record. So I'm quite prepared to say I think David Norris will be a successful signing.
I think so, yeah.
But
the money is... There's the two things. Yes, I feel sure that he'll be a successful signing, but I don't want to shrug off responsibility and say, oh, but we paid too much for him. You wouldn't have wanted to pay that much money, but the money was there. It's not mad to have done so.
Yeah.
No, certainly not. We haven't paid over the odds. We've been pushed to the limit of what they wanted, and we've matched that, so...
I think the major difference the last couple of weeks is we've got midfield players playing in midfield.
And it's energetic now.
And I think that's away from home certainly has been the difference.
Shall we say a word for Quinn as well again?
Quinn again is another one. Although obviously he turned his ankle in warm-up last night, but he's another one who's done very, very well.
straight in and taken over a problem position and made it his own.
Oh, yes.
And why does he play on the left when he's so clearly right-footed?
However, don't say that. Don't.
No, but...
Don't.
He's actually the reason that we've managed to sign him, because his younger brother's been keeping him out of that position.
That's quite impressive, isn't it?
So
it's extraordinary.
It is that
nearly
has that position he's been playing.
Shall we say a word about Bywater?
I mean, I don't think he's had
I don't want to be harsh on him either.
I don't think he's had difficult games, really. I think he's a couple of sort of dodgy kicks and... but I don't think he's too bad.
Does he have everything about him that every pub goalkeeper should have?
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how to waste time. Last night, he just put the ball down and then went up and picked it up again. If you're going to waste time, put the ball in the wrong place, and the ref will make a move.
He did a bit of respotting. That was quite impressive. I like the fact that he got booked and then he respotted it again.
You should put it in the wrong place, and then you waste time because the ref makes you move. A quick one here, probably actually aiming this at Git, as he knows Mr. Sheepshanks. This is from our friend Alistair. Sheepshanks is all for giving it for the 39th game to be played in either New York, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Mongolia, etc. He said, no surprise there, but is it worth having a go at him? What do you think, Mr. Git? That 39th game, you know, talking about playing
game
abroad.
Game 39.
Yes. Sir David is a god, and whatever Sir David thinks, I agree.
I think it's absolute nonsense. I have to say that the whole thing is clearly the first toe in the water towards playing regular Premiership matches, the games 1 to 38 all around the world, with a few at, you know, the Arsenal.
I can't wait to watch Town play in Beijing or Bonking or
it's the whole idea, because the American football, the NFL, brought a game over here, and for the first time this season they brought over a regular season game, a game that actually meant something. But I don't think our football's that far ahead now that we couldn't take pre-season over there still, and they'll lap it up. I'm sure the American and the Asian markets are quite happy with just having Manchester United or just Arsenal or Chelsea. I don't think it needs to be a competitive game yet.
But the Premier League, I think the end game for the Premier League is to become the world's league. In the way that the NFL is the world's league for the gridiron, because obviously
the only other
players. Well, I mean, you talk about
baseball. Why is it called gridiron?
Because it's played on a grid and the shirts are ironed. But I mean, you talk about other sports like baseball, which is played elsewhere, isn't it? Cuba and Japan and whatever.
That's right. Yes.
And America's league is the big league, and I think the English Premiership looks at itself as being that, you know, the world's big league, because you've got all the foreign owners now. The best coaches in the world are largely in the Premiership. The best players in the world are in the Premiership. The whole idea makes me choke.
So they want
to take the league to the world, as well as just kind of in actuality, rather than just via television.
What about Fabio Capello's interpreter's ponytail?
I haven't seen it.
It's extraordinary. You've got this little prim, puffy Hitler standing there, and beside him is a man that's fully a foot taller than him.
Right.
He's some sort of Londoner.
Are you in favour of Fabio Capello, as he is a man of your generation?
Totally opposed to him.
Are you?
Yes, actually, yes. He's the same sort of age as me. Actually, he looks good for an old git, doesn't he?
But
he's a bit puffy, though.
Italian old git.
Non-English speaking, very ridiculous.
No,
that's silly.
I'm sorry, we pretty much run out of time, so you've you haven't even got 30 seconds.
Goodbye.
Protection for Saturday, and then you can say goodbye.
Blackpool, I think we'll win 3-0.
11-0.
It's a home banker.
You've been watching Jimmy Reserve match.
That's it.
Home banker, you're right.
Actually, Stuart Fleetwood is being watched tonight.
By who?
I'll tell you afterwards.
All right.
Okay, on that bombshell. till next week. Thanks everyone for emailing. Thanks for the ones I didn't get through to. Kev Mariner, son of old Git, Rowena again, and thanks to James Git, Phil. I've been Graham Blackburn Rovers. Till next week. Have a good one. We're late. Thank you. Bye.